Megan, I have been using our sponsor Element, that's L-M-N-T, to boost my hydration for over a month now, and I'm really loving it. I'm just not very good at drinking plain water, and I love the taste when I pop one of these little packets, I like orange or grapefruit, into a big bottle of water. It's kind of fruity and salty, and it just helps me hydrate better overall.
Element is a zero-sugar electrolyte drink mix born from the growing body of research that shows the best health outcomes occur with higher sodium levels. Each little pack delivers a significant dose of electrolytes, but minus sugar, artificial colors, and other iffy ingredients. Element's flavors are so unique, like fruity watermelon salt and spicy sweet mango chili. And we're going to set our listeners up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite.
Right. You can receive a free Element sample pack containing 8 flavors with any drink mix purchase when you purchase through our custom link, drinkelement.com/momhour. That's DRINKELMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership and is available for both new and returning customers. And if you're an Element insider, you'll have first access to Element Sparkling, a bold can of sparkling electrolyte water. Again, it's drinklmnt.com/momhour.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 113 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, how you doing, Sarah?
I'm great. So today we have a really fun topic and one we have not addressed before.
Ever?
Not really.
Wow. Okay.
We talked about picky eaters one time. That's the closest we've come to nutrition.
Wow. All right.
You guys all know we're not nutritionists. This is one of those where we give our general disclaimer of we're right. Not experts. And you know that. But what we're going to kind of talk today is about kind of creating food culture in our family and modeling healthy eating and modeling nutrition for our kids in a way that doesn't necessarily have to prescribe to one particular type of diet or like weight loss goals, but just how do we set an example for our kids of, I'm calling it good enough nutrition, meaning not over the top, you know, into any one particular thing, but how do we show our kids the way to eat healthfully and the way eating can be fun and part of our family culture in a way that's healthy and nutritious without being over the top? That's kind of my summation of today. Is that
Yeah, that's cool? That sounds about right. And I have to say this has been like at the forefront of my mind because I just got done doing a big writing project with like a government agency. And I had to write a lesson that was all about family meals, but without talking about nutrition. So it was really interesting. So like, and it's a nutrition program. So I had to kind of touch on it, but, but the behavior I was trying to encourage families to embrace was not anything to do with what they were eating. And it was really eye-opening, like how much goes on at the table that really, I mean, is about nutrition, but it's like, for me, the nutrition is what you get to after you set up all the other things in place. And really the biggest thing we were talking about was that, you know, food really, social eating, human eating really is about sharing meals with the people that we love and that we spend time with. And when you can get the behavior and the manners and like the food culture part kind of square, the rest of it's much easier. If we just distill everything down to ingredients and organic or GMO versus not, like all that, then it becomes kind of scientific. And that's not really the way humans eat. And it's not the way humans socialize over food.
And don't you feel like also that is so fraught with guilt for moms if we distill it always down to the organic, non-organic, the you know, then it feels, it's like a score sheet. We've either failed or succeeded. Whereas creating a culture around food, how you enjoy food, how you talk about food, how you prepare food, in a way that's sort of more holistic, to use kind of a buzzy buzzword, I feel like then nutrition is just such a small piece of that.
It can be a little messier because life is messy. And unfortunately, like measuring calories and grams of fiber and gram, you know, and antioxidants ingredient levels, and that's not messy. It's exact. And so it's really hard to do that. Cause like you said, you either hit it or you don't. Like, you hit the mark or you don't, if you make everything measured. And
right.
If you go for more like, this is the way we eat in this family. And because we love to sit down together and share a meal, it just gives it a very different feel. And to me, it speaks much more to me than taking a more scientific view.
I love that. And of course, because you and I mean, we live in different parts of the country. Our families are different ages. And of our listeners, there are listeners out there who have families with allergies or with food sensitivities, or who have maybe a specific health struggle that relates to diet and nutrition. So I think keeping it at this like food values and food culture level, I think hopefully applies to everyone. I will say this has been on my mind more because we're recording this toward the end of summer, which means my kids have been home and in the house. And as we've talked about recently, my kids are getting more independent and self-sufficient with preparing their own food, which is awesome. It also means that it's right in front of me all day long that my kids are starting to make food choices without me. And so that's kind of an opportunity maybe to start talking about some of these things, because I don't really want to be the mom who has to say yes or no to every snack or has to police it at that level. But man, I really do want to give my kids the information to make good choices. I mean, I didn't make very good choices, I guess. So maybe I'm being too hopeful, but
well,
at least to have the dialogue going with my 9 and 7 year olds, especially about, so that's what we're going to get into.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. And I think like for me, when I've been working on this content that I've been creating, one of the things that kind of kept coming down to is like you as a parent, and I know parents, this to me felt a little idealistic and it's going to look different in every family. But the basic premise is like, as a parent, you can kind of control what's available, like what you purchase and what you cook and serve, and you can set rules around the table and set like expectations of how the kids will behave at the table. Mm-hmm. But when we get into trying to control exactly what our kids eat, that's when things fall apart, because like you said, you can't do that for very long. And research does show that like that doesn't actually lead to healthier eating habits in the end.
Right. And it doesn't feel good to me. I've noticed myself really bordering on that controlling. And I think it's just because this is a new phase. I was always the one preparing the food and setting it out. Here's what's for snack. Here's what's for lunch. And so I do hear myself sometimes saying, well, why don't you eat this instead? And I really don't want to be that way. So this is good timing for me too.
Yeah.
Megan, do you feel like you can give like a high level, like if someone asked you, like, what are your food values or like, what do you believe about nutrition and feeding a family?
Well, it's funny. I actually wrote a manifesto, which is so funny. I know, but it was several years ago, and it was kind of fun to read. Well, several. It was 4 years ago. It was fun to revisit it. Because nothing has really changed. My family structure has changed quite a bit. I don't have like a preschooler anymore. I don't have, you know, like I don't have all the same people under one roof as I did. And so it's a little different and a little bittersweet actually reading it. But my food manifesto, and I can like, I'll just read it.
Yeah.
The 5 or 6 things I had on here, and then I'll kind of touch on what I think I meant or what I mean, what those things mean to me now. So the first one was, I believe in sharing meals with the people I love. And that's simple. Like, I believe in the act of sitting down and eating with the people I love. Now, that can look very different. When I wrote this 4 years ago, that literally looked like nightly sitting down with a pot roast at the dining room table with 7 people. And now my family has changed. I'm going through a divorce. My oldest is an adult and kind of in and out on his own, off doing things. My second oldest is nearly an adult and has work in his own life. And so sometimes it looks like me sharing meals with 2 people that I love. And honestly, I was, you know, as I was reading this, I was thinking about how much a lot of this has fallen by the wayside for me. And it's really inspired me to kind of get back into it, because that was something that was really not only just the regular act of sitting down to a meal with my family was not only great at the time, but I feel like it's a really grounding thing. Yeah. It really helps you kind of create and set those routines and stay in touch with everybody. And I will say, like, over the last few months, I've kind of lost that. And maybe the last 6 or 7 months, it's kind of slipped away. I get a pass. Thank you. but it's something positive. I don't look at it as like a thing I have to do, because if I don't, my family, my kids will all be on drugs and pregnant. I think of it as something I want to do because it made family life better, and it makes me feel more in control and more in tune. And you know, the whole reason, I can give a little background on why we are doing this podcast in the first place. Yes. It all came out of my original podcast, which was called The Kitchen Hour. And the sole goal of The Kitchen Hour podcast was just to give moms something to listen to while they were making dinner so that they'd want to make dinner. Because I found that when I regularly went in the kitchen and spent an hour or so every night, my kitchen was cleaner. My kids got their stuff. I was more on top of their homework. I talked to them more. I was more relaxed. I was less distracted. Like, all of those things grew out of that. So I am re-inspiring myself to do this again. So the second thing on my food manifesto was, I believe in nourishing the body and the soul. And what I mean by that is the soul is just as important as the body. So I want to serve food that tastes good and has texture that, you know, the kids like, and isn't, you know, just too much like a little pile of Stigs and Twix, you know, or Twix. I would eat a pile of Twix, a pile of sticks and leaves. You know, the difference between having like a salad, like a really well-made salad with textures and flavors like a great dressing, and then something that's just kind of like raw.
All the components,
but it's not done well. I mean, that's such an analogy or a metaphor for any meal, I think, and it makes it, you know, it can be stuffed with good stuff and vegetables, but some stuff just is pleasurable to eat and some isn't. And so that was what that one was all about. One of my manifesto things was, I believe in butter and bacon. And I think everyone believes in bacon now, but
You were ahead of the
trend. I was ahead of the bacon trend. But my point was just that, you know, there are a lot of differences of opinion about how healthy meat is or how healthy butter as opposed to coconut oil or, you know, some other kind of cooking oil might be. And for me, again, like, there's just room for flavor and a little, some indulgence. It doesn't mean I sit down and eat a pile of bacon for breakfast. It means I incorporate things into cooking that taste good and people want to come back and eat.
Sarah, we both know this time of year can be crazy. So this is a great time to get ahead with no prep, no mess meals from our sponsor, Factor. I love how these meals are ready to eat and delivered right to your door. I mean, you can't beat that convenience, but most importantly, they're seriously delicious.
Yeah, Megan, I agree. Our whole family was impressed with the quality and flavor of Factor meals we tried. And it turned out to be a great option for my teenagers when they got home late from a theater practice or came home from school super hungry. There's zero prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Factor meals just need to be heated for about 2 minutes and they're ready to go.
Yeah, and for any listeners with wellness goals this month, Factor has 6 menu preferences to support your lifestyle, whether you're trying to boost your protein, avoiding meat, or simply focusing on well-balanced meals. And you can pause or reschedule deliveries to fit your lifestyle.
Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. Head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code MOMHOUR50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code MOMHOUR50 at factormeals.com/MOMHOUR50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Okay, Megan, like many of our listeners, I'm sure, I've been doing some spring cleaning in my closet lately, and it always feels so good to get rid of clothes I'm not wearing, things that don't fit or that aren't my style anymore. But you know what I realized? All of my Vionic shoes are always in the keep pile. They just tick all the boxes. They're cute, comfy, high quality. They last forever. And I love growing my Vionic collection, especially with the latest styles from their Vionic Vitals collection.
The Vionic Vitals collection offers daily wear styles designed for elegance, comfort, and versatility. We both love the Uptown Loafer, which collapses flat, so it's perfect for travel. The Chardonnay Heeled Sandal, which I know you love, Sarah. The Walk 23 Classic Sneaker, which our team member Katie gets compliments on all the time. And the Willa slip-on flat, one of my favorites, which comes in 12 colors for any outfit.
Yeah, I need to get the Willa slip-on flat. That's next on my list. Well, listeners, if you're ready to try the shoes we're always raving about, use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's one-time use only. Vionic shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
I believe in trying new dishes and loving old favorites. So I've written at length and talked before about like loving to put together just an old fashioned like pot roast or something my mom made. I love that. And I like to try new things, but everything doesn't always have to be new. And that's, I think, a trap that we I don't know, end up falling into sometimes, like thinking we have to keep reinventing the wheel.
Yeah. When Pinterest would like us to think that the ideal meal is just a couple clicks away.
Yes.
By the 65 cookbooks you have in your kitchen.
Exactly. And like
and the
all
you already know how to make.
Right. And all the new recipe generation. I think blogging has, and I did it too. Like I've created recipes on behalf of brands I liked working with when I was blogging, and it was fun. But I remember actually, I'd always be like, certainly someone has done this before. Like, surely this is not new. So I just think, you know, there's room for experimenting, and there's also room for just falling back on the stuff that you know how to do.
Yeah.
I believe anyone can learn how to cook. This is a big one, because I think a lot of people will quickly say, I'm a terrible cook, and that's that. And the fact is, we all have to eat. And that means in your home, someone in your home has to prepare food. Right. And if it's not you, that's fine. But it needs to be someone. And I believe it can be anyone. I don't believe everyone is going to become a chef or an awesome like improviser. There's a difference between cooking from a recipe and improvising.
Yeah.
There's a difference between creating art and creating a flavorful family meal. So I really do believe anyone
and
can do that.
There's also, if I can jump in on that.
Yeah, no, you can jump in anytime.
Also a big, like a big spectrum along which you might prepare dinner for your family, and maybe only one component of the whole meal is something you feel like you followed a recipe and you feel good about. And maybe the rest is, one time we talked about, didn't we talk about crescent rolls from a can?
Because
one kid will eat them. So like, I feel like I have fallen victim for sure to this thinking that I'm either making dinner in big air quotes tonight or I'm copping out. And we've probably touched on this in previous episodes, but most meals are a combination. Like most meals, I'm pulling out some leftovers, something easy to prepare, and then maybe there's one element that sort of like started from scratch and I actually brought it to conclusion. Maybe one night, the next night, maybe there's nothing. Maybe it's all a conglomeration. But I believe that all of that falls under the umbrella of preparing meals for your family. And I feel like sometimes it's easy to get into this thing where we say, well, if I'm not doing a scratch meal from that's beautiful from Pinterest, we might as well go to takeout. And there's so much in between. I feel like even just sitting down together and pulling the pieces from the fridge and warming something up in the microwave, it's all along that spectrum. And it's too easy, I think, to get into the extremes or the all or nothings in there. So in addition to anyone can learn to cook, a cook at every level can pull together a meal.
That is so true. And you know, there is this romantic notion that cooking, like the harder we make it on ourselves, the more it counts. And there's nothing wrong with like steamed vegetables in the microwave. Like they're the easiest thing ever. Throw a little butter and salt on top and they taste good. I like to be a little more inventive when I can, but there's room, like you can make a lovely piece of meat or protein and then side it with something easy. Like, it, you know, with
box mac and cheese,
box mac and cheese or fruit salad. I think I remember, I don't remember, this was a long time ago. I showed a dinner I had made for the kids and I can't remember exactly what it was. I think it was like potatoes au gratin with a corn dog or something like that. And I put it on a plate and took a picture of it. I thought it was really funny. And someone was like, that's the nicest plating I've ever seen of a corn dog. But it was just kind of funny because I thought, well, I mean, I'm not going to get the whole thing right every time, but if you can get half of the meal good or like three quarters or even a third of it, it's better than French fries and a burger from the drive-thru. And so, all or nothing never helps anybody.
No,
it really
doesn't. And if you're waiting to learn to cook to start caring about these things, then you're probably cheating yourself out of some enjoyment, some of the fun parts of feeding a family, because you think that you're not good enough yet or you haven't found the right Pinterest board or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. The last thing on this little food manifesto that we can stop talking about me for a bit is I believe food matters. And I do. I just don't. I believe that the act of eating matters. Yeah. I believe that where we buy our food matters. I'm also, and what kind of food we buy and feed our families matters. I just also feel like there's so much room to give yourself some credit and some grace about not always getting it perfect. So I totally believe in buying locally, but when money is tight or time is tight, or I just don't have the energy, I don't always do that. So there's like a lot of different things that you can believe. I feel like there's this weird thing, like we have a really hard time if we have a certain belief about something or know something to be true, and then we don't follow it to the letter every single time. And yeah. no one can. There's too many things to know. There's too yeah. many things to believe. And there's yeah. too many things that are important to follow every single one of them every single time. So, yeah. you know, believe it matters, but don't kill yourself. That's why I focus on the fun part. Make it yeah. enjoyable. Make it about yeah. gathering your family. And the rest yeah. kind of will fall into place if you just set aside some time. And that's yes. the biggest thing. Like, make time yeah. and space in your life for it. And the rest then comes naturally rather than trying to do it the other way around.
Well, and I think that puts such a positive spin. I want to shift into talking about the way we model some of this for our kids, like on a day-to-day mm-hmm. basis. And you kind of set that up perfectly, because I feel like a lot of what we hear about nutrition is the don'ts, right? Like mm-hmm. no white flour, no high fructose corn syrup, no blah, blah, blah. And that's fine and good as a guidepost. But I feel like what you've done with this manifesto and with focusing on the positives is flipped that around, and you're showing your kids, and we're trying to show our families what is enjoyable about food.
Yeah.
Not just the things we're supposed to limit or reduce. Kids get enough of that anyway, as we've talked about on this show. You know, they hear what they're not supposed to do and not supposed to have all day long. So I think it's really worthwhile. I'm really glad actually we're doing this topic. It's really worthwhile to spend some time thinking about what is the food culture and what are the food values that you hoped that your kids come away with? So yeah, I think, Megan, I think you're really inspiring in this area.
Oh my goodness, I'm inspiring myself.
A lot of writing that you have done about kind of mm-hmm. the food culture you grew up in and all of that. So, okay, well, I feel like it's kind of my turn to talk, but I don't have a blog post to read back from. But I think what I've been thinking about lately is, we are not a family who has any one particular dietary need. We're not gluten-free. We're not paleo. But at the same time, we live in Southern California, which is a very health conscious culture. My husband lost about 40 pounds about 5 years ago and kept it off mostly through very healthful eating, you know, fruits and vegetables being the top of his food diagram or whatever you want to call it. And then kind of lean meats, very lean meats and lean proteins. And so in my house, there has been this culture of, I don't know, even healthy eating seems too vague, because there's a lot of ways to be a healthy eater, in my opinion. But mm-hmm. so I think a lot about, like, what do I want my kids to come away with? Because we can't say we're vegetarians or we're paleo or we're this. We're not anything. But at the same time, we do eat pretty healthfully. And I think what I've been focusing on lately, a couple things. One is educating my older two, especially about what we buy and the ingredients in them. So we tend to do our grocery shopping at Trader Joe's. And, you know, there's Trader Joe's lovers out there and those who maybe don't have one. But one of the things I like is they do a lot of snack foods. There's a lot of things. They have a lot of desserts. There's a lot of things you can buy at Trader Joe's that are not on paper like high nutrients or nutrients mm-hmm. rich. But I like that as a general rule, they limit preservatives almost exclusively. You would have to look hard to find a high preservative or high artificial anything food in their store. And that to me has become little by little over time, I would say, more and more important. Not anything that's like I live and die by, but I'd rather have my kids have pretzels and snacks and cookies made without artificial ingredients and preservatives and not worry about the sugar of this particular thing or the gluten right. in that particular thing. So that's one that, and that's taken me a while to kind of identify that as a value, because kids want snacks all the time. And so it's like, gosh, am I a goldfish mom or am I right. not a goldfish mom? Like, yeah. can my kids have cookies every day or are we limiting sugar? And it's taken me a while, but I think what's more important to me is things like artificial dyes, artificial ingredients, and preservatives. And that, little by little, I'm not an expert, but little by little, that's translated over into like the lunch meats we buy and the meats that we buy. And I feel like Trader Joe's is a good start for that, because they start with a baseline of the ingredients list is stuff that you can see and yeah. you understand what it is. So that's kind of become a big one for me. And then the other one we've been talking a lot about with the kids lately is just the variety in what we eat all day. Not that every plate has to look like the color wheel or whatever it's supposed to do, you know, like
yeah.
not that you need every food group in every plate, but I have kids who will go for the carbs every time, as many of us moms would also like to do. And because they're getting more independent, I feel like a conversation we have a lot is, okay, so what have you had today? And they'll be like, oh, well, I had a frozen waffle for breakfast, and then I had some pretzels for a snack. And so I'm kind of playing the dummy, and I'm like, so what yeah. do you think should be up next there? Like, we haven't, and again, we're in summer where we're kind right. of all grazing, and I don't have a problem with grazing. That one is not an issue. I don't think we need to be sitting down me and my three kids for square meals. So I'm fine with grazing. I'm fine with everybody kind of being on their own rhythm during the summer. But that's what we keep coming back to, is where is the variety over the course of the day? And that has been really good for discussions. You know, even Reed, who the only vegetable he eats is raw baby carrots dipped in ranch. That's it. I'll
that's
just come
it.
Out and say it. There's no other vegetables. But even he will sort of be able to think, okay, so I'm kind of due for a fruit. And if they've had enough fruit, but it's been all fruit and bread, then I might say, okay, so what about a string cheese or a yogurt? Like, where's your, and it's funny because I feel like the five food groups is a dated concept, but honestly, it's kind of helpful for my kids at this level to think in those really broad terms, you know?
Yeah.
I know not all meats and proteins are created equal, not all dairy and not all bread food group is created equal, but it's actually helped us have conversations about everything in a pantry that I buy. Everything I buy, like you said about the writing you'd been doing, everything that I buy is technically something you can eat. It's just not okay to have a bowl of cereal and then a frozen waffle and then pretzels and then
toast. Yeah.
For
Mix
5 days straight.
Yes. Yeah.
So that has been a helpful kind of guiding principle, I will say, for us, and has helped them still have a lot of choices about what they eat. I just say find a different food group. I don't care what it is. Just mix it up. So that has been helpful. And that's definitely, I think, a summer thing for us right now, because when it gets back into packing lunches and stuff, then we're kind of, that's a little easier. I'm either packing them or I'm overseeing the packing and I can kind of make sure the variety is there. But
yeah,
in this summer free for all, it's been a really good time to look at that variety. And that to me is more important than, it's actually even more important than them eating vegetables or eating a lot of fruit. It's them, their bodies and their minds getting used to mixing it up and having a variety. Yeah. And hopefully over time that will turn into a variety of flavors and a variety of types of foods. But for now, if we're just rotating the food groups, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I actually have like a few, as you were talking, I have a few like little, they're not arbitrary rules, but you know how you always have like the house rule that you cling to?
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't even really make sense or whatever, but I have a few of those. And I guess, Should I talk about those now? And then maybe we should take a break and then go into the, because I also have some shopping tips.
Ooh, like, nice.
Yeah.
So go for it.
Okay, so one of those rules is if you're gonna, like if I do buy chips and I really don't very often, but chips are one of those things, like I feel like it's kind of a compromise item. I'm not gonna serve it up with dinner every night, but if we're having like, you know, a barbecue or whatever, I might have them in the house. And the way I do snacks, I kind of buy, I mean, at this point the inmates are running the asylum, and I know that if I buy a bag of chips, unless I hide it really carefully, it's gonna be gone. So I buy any snacky junky stuff like that. If I buy sugar cereal, if I buy, and I think so, like that's what my mom always called it, was sugar cereal. If I buy chips, something like that, which is considered a junk, I buy it in a quantity that I'm going to be okay with the kids like mowing it down and like it's gone in a few minutes. So that's just, you know, that's how I make it okay for myself, because I don't want to police it. So one, but I do make rules around it. So with chips, like you have to take a handful of chips out and put it in a small cereal bowl. You cannot just like dump the entire bag into a bowl and then wander into the living room with it. I don't let the kids eat junk food on the couch, because I don't want the kids eating that stuff mindlessly and just shoving it into their faces. So just like those kinds of, they're rules, but they're just basically like, they're almost more like etiquette or this is the way you can eat reasonably. You know, we have certain foods that are just, everyone knows are eat whenever you want. You don't have to ask like for this. You can eat, like you can always go into the fruit bowl. Always. You could always like grab a handful of nuts. That's totally fine. But if it's something like, if it's like a sweet in the freezer, you ask, because those are usually for a special occasion, or maybe I get them for a hot day coming up and I don't want the kids to just dig into them. So those things are nutrition, but really what they are, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying at the very beginning, it's like, they are nutrition, but really what they are is behavior. They're politeness, they're etiquette. It's like food behavior. The end result is the kids are still eating better foods at the end, because I've set some ground rules that push them toward that. But really it's more about like the way I want food to be engaged with in the house. And it just takes the pressure off, because I would say the same thing about healthy pretzels. You also can't take a bag of that and sit in front of the TV and, you know, just shove your hand in the bag and like get crumbs everywhere.
You and I are the same. Those are both rules in my house. And what I asked Allegra to start doing, because she's the one who really could snack all day, And I just told her, look at the serving size. And that, right. And serving sizes, I think we all know, are sometimes laughably small. Like, I could take down a half a bag of chips right now. So we're not like, it's not like we're better than anybody. But starting with the serving size is like, oh, the serving size for this is 12 crackers. Like, okay, we'll start with that. And then let's see where we are. But yeah, I really don't like that eating out of the bag either.
It's kind of rude. It's like my mom would have been like, oh, were you born in a barn? And so I just think of that. But nowadays, I feel like it's just weirdly usual for small children to be walking around with their hand in a bag of chips carrying a soda. And it's even stuff like, if, you know, on the rare occasion I let my kids have a soda, I'll make them like open the can and split it into two glasses just on like principle, because I don't want to see them walking around slurping out of a soda. It's just, it's a weird little thing, hang up that I have. And they don't get it that often anyway, but it's just one of those little things that I feel like makes it more controlled and more polite.
It's funny because a lot of this, I think you're saying, is coming from your history and all that. But it's actually like, I think it's kind of a newfangled concept, which is mindful eating, not eating mindlessly. We know that, like, as passive as a lot of Americans' lives are with like being at the computer and working too much, and not that eating has become this thing that is sort of like mindless. And it's politeness and it's all of that. But I also think it's even more than that. And that is sort of teaching kids to be conscious of what they're putting in their mouth. And that's either because of where and how you eat or how much, or, you know, like my food group thing. You have to sort of pay attention to what you're putting in.
And totally agreed.
We are welcoming back Ritual as a sponsor today. Megan, we both try to make healthy choices, but you know, sometimes it's tricky to sort through fact and fiction when it comes to supplements and vitamins to figure out just what they're doing for us. That's why I'm glad Ritual keeps studying their products and sharing the results, especially as it relates to women, since women are the focus of all Ritual's products, including the Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin.
And the results are super reassuring. Just as an example, Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, and it was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin is made with high-quality and traceable key nutrients in clean, bioavailable forms, with 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day. Plus, they are leading the industry when it comes to sustainability. They use lower carbon packaging and prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients. That kind of thoughtfulness really matters to me.
No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/themomhour. Start Ritual or add the Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/themomhour for 25% off.
Sarah, I know music education is important to a lot of parents, but we also know parents and caregivers already have a lot on their plate. Our sponsor, Carnegie Hall Kids, is here to help. Their online resources can help facilitate music education and learning as a family for free.
Yeah, and we've talked about Carnegie Hall Kids in the past and all of their great educational games, quizzes, and videos for kids and families. And now kids can check out their brand new Sights You Can Hear quiz, which plays a piece of music and then has you guess what visual image inspired it.
Our listeners may have heard the name Carnegie Hall because of their live performances, but they might not know about all the educational resources they also have for kids and families on their website. And the best part is everything on the Carnegie Hall Kids website is completely free. Listeners, start the musical journey early and go to kids.carnegiehall.org to check out fun, child-friendly games and quizzes. That's kids.carnegiehall.org.
I definitely want to talk about grocery shopping, like I said, because I think that I have like a really simple tip about that. But I also want to talk about eating out a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think that that's something that, you know, most families do to some degree, and it's a lot harder, I think. So I'm just going to get my shopping tip first. It's just a quick one. But I have found that when I'm facing trying to make changes to our family's eating habits and like improving them, and sometimes I fall off the wagon for a while and then try to get back on track, it's really helpful for me to like really focus on one or two things. So when I really started getting very food conscious, probably about 10 years ago or so, 10, 15 years ago, the only thing I did for like a month was focus on not having high fructose corn syrup in my bread. Like that was it. Yeah. That was the only thing. And at that time it was actually still kind of hard to find. So sometimes that was actually a challenge. And then I moved on to finding eggs that I thought were sourced in from more nutritious sources. Mm-hmm. And you can look into that yourself. So, and because, and I chose those for a reason, bread, because the kids go through a lot of bread. I figured that kind of took, it represented a large part of our diet.
Yeah.
And the expense of getting bread that was more natural, preservative free, and didn't have high fructose corn syrup in it was not that much more expensive. Like it was maybe a dollar more for a loaf, but I felt like that was a cost that we could swing.
Right.
Same thing with eggs. You know, even the best eggs are still a relatively cheap form source of protein, and we use them a lot. So it was like finding like that one thing and focusing on it and maybe having it a thing that it makes a big difference because your kids drink a lot of it or eat a lot of it, but maybe doesn't add a lot of pressure to you or a lot of cost to your budget. Yeah. And then what happens, you kind of by default, you start making more choices. Like you start making more good choices like that. And I don't know if you've had any similar ways that you've done shopping.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have tried to shift toward organic, both meat and dairy over time, but it took a long time. I remember when we found that Costco had a really good price on organic boneless, skinless chicken breasts. And that was the only meat that we bought that was organically raised for a long time. And so just knowing that that was one affordable piece of the puzzle. And then I just like in terms of the organic thing with fruits and veggies for a long time, I would just look at the cost differential. And I think training your mind to look at these things, you just start to notice more. So I didn't have an exact number, but if it was double, I wasn't going to do it. If it was an incremental increase to buy organic, then I did it. And it wasn't that I thought the pesticides were going to kill my family tomorrow. It was more that I kind of wanted to vote with my dollars and kind of like make a statement with my shopping that eventually I'd like not to have the preservatives, you know, and pesticides on my fruits and vegetables, but it's not going to all happen overnight. So I totally agree. And I think starting to pay attention to, sometimes we can get it in our head that it's expensive to eat this way, whatever this way means for you. And I think that can be really true, but also you can start paying attention to what is drastically more expensive and what is incremental and start just like you said, pick one or two things. So
And you know what, you can make a fruit salad that has an organic strawberry mixed with a non-organic grape. I mean, you can do they still count. Like I always want to say it still counts. Like the organic strawberries still count. I've actually found that Aldi is a great place to shop for. They do have a limited organics, but what I like about Aldi is it's very simple. So Aldi is a discount supermarket chain. If you haven't been to one in the last like 2 or 3 years, go, because they have done major overhauls and they have so much more stuff than they used to have, and they've got good brands, and they've got like one called Never Any or something like that. I think Never Any, I think is what it's called. And it's one of their meat brands. So it's like right next to the other meat brand, and there's no preservatives, there's no hormones, no antibiotics. And it's right next to the other version, and it's not that much more. So it allows you to really make like side by side choices, side by side comparisons. And you will get out of there with such a cheap, shopping cart full of groceries that you don't feel bad about spending a little more. And they have very limited organics, but they also just have like, it's really easy in that store to skip the junk food aisle because it's like, at least in ours, and I know they're laid out differently, but in ours, that's like the first aisle. Okay. So I just kind of walk fast and I might grab some crackers, or I might grab like, you know, if that's in the budget this week or in the diet plan this week or whatever. And cereal or whatever. And then I'm out of that aisle and I don't go back. And then I just kind of get into the produce and the dairy, and it's all laid out in such a way that you can kind of just grab, grab, grab and go. It's not overwhelming. And it can be a little bit the first few times you go, cause it's weird. It's not laid out the same as another grocery store. And like, you have to have a quarter for your grocery cart, and they don't have bags for free. You have to buy them or bring your own, like stuff like that. So you kind of have to get used to that. But once you're used to it, I love it. It's just like easy, inexpensive, and it may not be like all organics, but it's just simple food, and it's mostly food that you're going to make into a meal. Like there's not a whole lot of convenience options. There's not a whole lot of frozen stuff that you can heat up.
And that's another, I think, another sort of food value that I think both you and I have probably touched on over the years, but maybe it bears repeating. And that is that, you know, almost anything that you're able to whip together at home is
better than almost anything you can get at a restaurant.
Packaged or fast food. So going back to that all or nothing thing, making a quesadilla or pancakes for dinner or whatever is so simple, and not packaged and not from the fast food drive-in. So it doesn't have to be a drastic improvement to be a little bit better.
And I think
that's kind of what we come down to. And also going back to the example we're setting for our kids, that that all or nothing is an important example for them too. It's that meals can take various amounts of time to create. They can look like a fancy set table or something really casual, but the repeated act of prepping food and putting it together for a family, I think, is something that they will remember. They won't remember if it was something super simple or something that took you 2 hours. So
yeah, that's so true. I guess that's a good segue into talking about eating out, because I do have like a couple of ways that our food, I guess, values translate there. And when we eat out, I do not try to get the kids to eat healthy stuff. No, I mean, I feel like that's kind of like why even bother, especially since most, even if they're ordering off the adult menu, which gets prohibitively expensive if you've got kids, it's still not going to be great for you most of the time. So when we eat out, I really focus on portion control, like that to me, in frequency and portion control. So if we all go out to eat and everyone, and I have kids of varying appetites, and I don't want to call out my one bigger kid who's got a huge appetite, but I might say like, okay, well, how about we all share a basket of fries instead of like everyone gets their own order? Or how about instead of getting the double enormous heart attack burger, can you try the smaller version? Well, I'll often encourage them to cut their sandwiches. Like if we're eating at a place that has more like, I don't know, like the kind of sandwiches you can take to go, like cut them in half right at the beginning and plan to take half home. Cause there's, you know, especially as they graduate off the kids menu, there's more options, and sometimes they get a little bit intoxicated by all the options that suddenly are available to them, but they don't need to eat that entire 2000 calorie sandwich. And so that's really what I try to focus on there. Just the idea that like you can eat food that is quote unhealthy, unquote. Yeah. Just eat less of it and don't eat it as often.
Yep. Yes. I love that. Well, that I wanted to mention a couple of things about vacation, because this has come up for us recently. And this summer, before we went away on our bigger trip to Tahoe, I just knew that sweets just become a part of vacation. And I want to be that mom who just says yes every time. But we were going for almost 2 weeks, and we were going to be staying in the house that my parents share there. And we were going to have a relatively stable, like, home environment, meaning we were going to be shopping for groceries and eating out some, but not the whole time. It's not like a quick weekend where you can say yes to ice cream like 3 days in a row and everybody's happy. So I really wanted to find a way where I could be the yes mom about the ice cream, but not lose control completely, because it's a long time. And honestly, their moods suffer, their sleep suffers after a while, specifically with the sugar. It's not like it happens once. It's just over time, it just chips away at my sanity. So what we decided to do, and I ran this by the kids, was we decided that in the house, we would ask my parents not to buy ice cream sandwiches for after dinner or popsicles or, you know, the stuff around the house, but that once we were out and about, you know, at the pool snack bar, or that I would say yes literally all the time, like including if we were about to eat dinner, we would go to this like kids kind of recreation center place, and they'd always have cookies out, and it was so great. I just said yes all the time when we were out, and then when we were home, there just wasn't anything in the house. And I think I would do that again for vacation. Obviously, every situation looks different, but it really helped me to not have to police it on a treat by treat basis, and to get to say yes, because you're right. Like, it is fun to eat out, to enjoy things. And I don't want to be the one who's like, well, did you have dessert after lunch? Now let's not have it after dinner, you know?
Right.
So that works really well. I think anytime we can take the burden off ourselves as moms of policing, and I think, you know, we started this conversation with kind of simple family rules or whatever, then it's just so much more enjoyable to enjoy food with our kids and with our families.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more. Is that a good place to wrap up?
I'd love to hear from listeners on this. I feel like this could be one that we revisit someday.
I think, and you know, it's funny, like after we started talking about it, I had all these other thoughts pop into my head that probably would be best saved for another episode. Yeah. But there's so much guilt and pressure around food and feeding your family. And it's really important. But man, sometimes it's important in different ways than we make it important. And we put like these rules on ourselves that I don't think are helpful often in the end, and don't get us the result we want.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it takes away from the enjoyment factor, and quite possibly the most important thing we can do for our kids is to have them see food as a healthy part of living a life, not too important, but right. also important, you know?
Yeah. Like
not, and I think the rules can often get in the way of that and have it be a point of contention.
Yeah. It's not something you mindlessly shove in your face, but it's also not something you have to obsess over. It's like a,
right.
an enjoyable thing that can be yes, done moderately.
I also want to mention, we did do a show about feeding picky eaters. And again, you and I are by no means nutritional experts on this, but we shared our own experience feeding picky eaters. That was quite a while ago. So I'll link to that in the show notes because we didn't really get into that. But I think that's okay because that's at the nitty gritty level. What we're talking about today is kind of like defining this high level culture for your family.
So absolutely.
Great. Well, don't forget to check out the That's It bars. I think you guys and your kids will really like them. You can go to thatsitfruit.com and enter the code TheMomHour to save 10%, or just pick some up when you see them around town. And we're really grateful to them for sponsoring this episode. So, again, head to themomhour.com for the show notes for episode 113, and that's where this will be. Guess what, Megan? Over 10,000 teens are already using our sponsor, Erica, to help them unplug.
That is amazing. Erica, that's Erica with a K, is the social media health app for teens that gives them the tools to unplug whenever they need to for improved health, study focus, sleep, and daily balance. It's so cool how this works to hide distracting apps from your phone at the touch of a button, keeping them out of sight and out of mind without deleting your data.
Yeah, you know, teens really get that social media comes with risks, including addiction, and Erica helps them build healthy habits and self-regulation that will benefit them their whole lives. Tell your teens about Erica and save 20% on the Erica Family Plan with promo code TheMomHour. Go to erica.app and search for plans. That's Erica with a K, Erika.app, and use code TheMomHour to save 20%.
Sarah, I have been having just the best time making my new podcast, The Tease Made. I launched back in November, and so far I've covered topics like staying warm on cold winter walks, nurturing creativity, how to be a great host, and even Nordic secrets to loving winter.
Well, you know I am fan number one of The Tease Made. It's got such a cozy vibe, and it seems like you've really hit your stride in covering topics like wellness, self-care, comforting rituals and routines, and home and family life.
Just look for The Tease Made with Megan Francis wherever you get your podcasts, or head to thetheasemade.com to find all the episodes.